Today I want to talk about, I believe that our behaviors are under the control of consciousness forms. We're like puppets on a string with the consciousness forms pulling on those strings. We're told by scientists that everything is energy. I think it would be better stated if we said everything is intelligent energy, and then it becomes much easier to say and understand everything is consciousness, which is just another word for intelligent energy. Christ, in letter number one of Christ Returns, reveals startling truth, says that divine consciousness is purposefully providing for the well-being of all of its creations. And because we've drawn our consciousness from divine consciousness, the source of our being, we have creative powers in the way we use our minds and our bodies, our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our actions. We shape consciousness as we will. And we will according to our level of awareness or the state or level of our consciousness. When consciousness is shaped, and if you can imagine this as some sort of magnificent, mysterious dough that could be shaped into buildings and bombs and cookies and babies and puppies and you name it. We shape it with intention and judgment. Boom. And it is that result we would call a consciousness form. Intention and judgment forms consciousness into consciousness-forms. Consciousness forms are alive. They're alive in the sense that they grow and they want to grow, they want to survive, and they do that by drawing more consciousness, more energy of a similar frequency to themselves, just like you and I do. They magnetically attract more energy of the same vibrational frequency. The consciousness forms get stronger, more influential in our lives, and over time, they can cause effect because of their strength and influence. Depending on the characteristics human beings add to the consciousness forms, they appear as different structures. For instance, Christ states that the AIDS problem on the planet is due to the consciousness forms that have been created by lower awareness human beings. The good news is that our protection is divinely designed. That's one of the purposeful ways our well-being is being supported by divine consciousness. The bad news is that our own human ego consciousness, as a creative power, can design other forms of, in quotes, protection. Some examples of the good news, though, you know, if you and I were to go outside in the cold weather and we don't have enough clothing to keep us warm, we're going to start to shiver. Shivering is a divinely designed protective program for the purpose of elevating our body's temperatures to offset the cold. Shivering is to make us more comfortable and to protect us from freezing. Like, I happen to be in Florida, so if I were to go outside right about now, I'm apt to experience heat, and my body, in an effort to maintain its balance, will start to perspire. Perspiration is a divinely designed program trying to cool the body down so it doesn't overheat. I was thinking of Genesis the other day, and I thought, I wonder if the verses in Genesis substantiate the idea of consciousness forms being the result of intention and judgment. Let there be light. Sounds like an intention to me. It is good. Sounds like a judgment to me. Let there be firmament. It is good. Let there be. It is good. Let there be. It is good. Intention plus judgment forms consciousness. maybe that's another reason why we are advised not to judge. We interpret, judge not, lest ye be judged, because, frankly, that's a fact, and that is a caveat regarding the law of cause and effect. If you judge, that's sowing the seeds, you're going to reap a similar harvest. So it's like, we're going to reap what we sow, and we're judgmental, it's going to come back to us. So that's good advice, judge not. But I think it might indicate this too, that we are creating through our intention and judgment a lower vibration consciousness form that has the potential to return to us and infect us and harm us. And frankly, if we knew that, if we were aware of that and appreciated that facts and the potency of that idea, we wouldn't be doing that quite so readily as we do it today. Consciousness forms can be like the functioning of the immune system. When we perceive something as a threat or as an ally, energy patterns, consciousness forms, rush out to meet the threat or the ally. It seems like we have standard reactions to certain objects of attention. And I think the range of reactions is identifiable according to the specific focus and our learned strategies. I think those learned strategies are really the results of the type of consciousness forms that we're infected with. Some people will see a dog and run like crazy or tremble in terror. Others will move toward that dog to embrace it, to pet it, to talk to it, to rub it. It's like, what's going on there? Why such a vast difference in reaction? Consciousness forms. Christ refers in the letters to a baby left or a child left in the crib who is wanting its needs to be met all the time, every time, instantly, but not having that occur. And that baby is going to get angry because of that, or is going to become quiet and go to sleep. It will succumb to the idea that it can't have what it wants. On a simple level, I could say, that looks a lot like fight and flight. Looks like struggling and fighting and battling to get what we want, or giving up. Two consciousness forms. Fight is a form of resistance that is clearly overt. If we see somebody in a fist fight, we go, oh, okay, that's pretty clear. I can understand that. But sulking is a strategy that we use to resist. Why are you sulking? Why are you pouting? We might say to a child, we might say to a spouse, we might say to a friend, might say to an employee, why are you sulking? The point is, they're sulking because that's a less overt form of resistance. It's less active, but they think it's something they can get away with, and maybe it will help them meet their needs. A lot of people will sulk in order to get somebody to come rescue them. I can't do it. And boom, somebody runs to rescue them. Over time, that's not going to work because that strategy repeated too much is going to take the rescuer and they will start accessing their victimizer consciousness forms because trying to rescue this person doesn't work. Now I want to beat them with a stick. That sulking is a form of fighting. Sabotage, to include self-sabotage, criticism, denigration, sarcasm, are forms of fighting. It makes perfect sense to me that we would be attuned, we would be harmonized, said more accurately, infected by the dominant consciousness forms of our mothers. When we were in utero, during the birth process, right after birth, in the early days, weeks, months, and years of our lives, when we're being bombarded with consciousness forms. Scientists may say that certain infectious agents can't pass through the placental wall. But I say, since scientists and particularly medical researchers are not familiar with, don't know about consciousness forms as a concept, this field goes unexplored, not even considered as a reality. It's like, I can't see it, it doesn't exist. I can't touch it, it doesn't exist. It's like, okay. But you and I might know that consciousness is everything, and consciousness penetrates everything. Evidence of this idea is plentiful. When people watch violent movies or violent TV programs or play violent games, these people are more apt to do violent things that are outside their normal range of behaviors. It's documented. It's documented in scientific tests and experiments. What do you think is flaring up in those people, other than violent consciousness forms that they've previously been infected with and now have added more energy to through the watching of games and video and TV and movies? People in America, since we're more or less school book educated, understand the ideas of infections, the immune system, and the body's responses to internal and external influences or threats. I already mentioned the cold and heat, and we're like, oh yeah, I understand that. I understand shivering, and I understand perspiring, and we understand a bunch of stuff. Everybody's had, at some point, a splinter either in their finger or their toe, and everybody has had a cold or other illness. Almost all fair-skinned people, of which I'm one, know about sunburn. Most people understand the concept of allergies. And most people understand that the skin is a protective barrier. And a break in the skin is an area that is now vulnerable to infection. However, most people don't know this, that a baby born headfirst vaginally is getting tremendous immune system advantages by being exposed to and covered and coated with bacteria in the birth canal. It's like going through a wash that is going to benefit them tremendously on their way to being born. I would say most people are understanding that mother's milk being delivered to a baby during nursing is conveying tremendous immune system advantages to that baby. Those energy patterns being delivered during the birth process, during nursing, are huge to the baby. And there are clear physical and emotional benefits to the mother from natural childbirth and nursing. So on a physical level, just those couple of examples, mothers have a lot to contribute to their children's ability to protect themselves in the environment. And this is what we do scientifically. We use our five senses to validate that idea, because scientists and researchers use the five senses, things they can see and hear and reproduce in a laboratory and petri dishes. I thought, well, that's true. Now that I can reproduce it and it's obvious to my five senses, it's true. And that's really, in our culture, what truth is. Something that we can perceive with our five senses. I can't perceive it with my five senses. It must be like that imaginary friend that people talk about when they're little. Just because they're imaginary doesn't mean they're not real. Mothers, as the containers of developing children, deliver invisible thoughts, feelings, sounds, and movements to their babies. These thoughts, feelings, sounds, and movements are forms of consciousness. Everything is consciousness. Imagine mothers as this immensely powerful broadcasting station, operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 9 months nonstop. And that continues right after the baby is born. But it's going all 9 months. You think they're delivering consciousness forms into that developing baby? Since everything is consciousness and mothers, pregnant and otherwise, form consciousness with their thoughts, their feelings, their words, actions, sounds, movements, all of these things, all of these consciousness forms are being added to the consciousness of this baby, kind of like bricks that become part of that baby's identity. This would be nice. A mother who repeatedly expressed love and joy at having this baby. That baby is going to go, oh, I want to be born. I'm being welcomed. This is so, so great. So all of those emotions will go into that baby's body, mind, heart. And that baby is going to be accustomed to love. They're going to be accustomed to being welcomed into an environment of love. And they're going to have a sense that they're being supported as an individual. And they're going to grow more than, say, an average baby. To that baby, being loved and loving will be normal. We could say that the mother planted seeds of love or consciousness forms of love in the soil of the baby, in the consciousness of the baby. With further nurturing outside the womb, this child will be loving and will be loved. And it's going to do things that are loved and loving, and it will benefit in its life from that love. Being a loving mother to a growing child within is not so easy. There are a lot of complications to being pregnant. The child is not the only thing growing inside the mother. Previously planted consciousness forms of fear, of not enoughness, of doubt, of concerns about the capabilities to do a decent job of raising this child, about finances, about having knowledge. What do you do with these little teeny things once they're on the outside of the body? Physical discomfort during pregnancy and childbirth. Changes in the mother's identity. All of a sudden she went from whatever her physical condition was to this round-bellied, putting on water weight and other weight. And it's like, oh my. Conflicting demands of other people in the family, spouse and other children and so on. And the unborn child all weigh heavily on the mother. And all of this is when the child is wanted and has been planned. In the case of an unwanted or an unplanned child, the pressures are even greater. The consciousness forms that are communicated to the baby in this scenario can be very scary in their potential to do harm. Fear, anger, resentment, victimhood, overwhelm, terror, despair, intractable not enoughness, hopelessness, grief, disappointment, shame. The list probably could go on. Will be felt by many mothers. And if the many mothers feel it, every one of their children will feel and be bombarded with those consciousness forms. When the unborn child is infected with these consciousness forms, the ones that distort identities, I'm not lovable, I cause anger, I cause grief, on and on and on, and all that kind of idea, it is only a matter of time before those consciousness forms produce symptoms in the child outside the womb. The newborn's mentality, emotionality, physicality are all shaped in the womb while basking in the gentle vibrations of love. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, man, that's so nice. Or being bombarded with negative vibrations of self-loathing that the mother and father might be experiencing and the unhappiness at being pregnant. it's known now that babies can be born exuberant or depressed, ready to grow robustly or ready to be labeled as failure to thrive. And these conditions, in my opinion, are caused by the consciousness forms pumped into the developing baby. You and I were developing babies. It's estimated that the adult human body is made up of about 10 trillion cells. These cells make up our muscles, blood, tissues, organs such as the brain, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, spleen, etc. It is also estimated that within our bodies, within our container, there are 100 trillion, 10 trillion are ours, 100 trillion microorganisms. The majority of those are located toward the center of our bodies in the midsection. The DNA in our bodies that belongs to us is far less than the DNA in our bodies that belongs to these microorganisms. The DNA is greater in quantity, and it is greater in variety than the DNA that is ours. You could say we are a mobile vehicle, like a taxi or a bus, or a world. How about that? We're a world that is populated by alien beings doing what they do inside of us. Before scientific instrumentation existed that enabled us to see microorganisms, right, the microscope, the microorganisms still existed in us, even though we couldn't see them. In other words, our five senses are really not the ultimate determination of reality. It's like, oh, if I see it, it exists. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. That's not true. If we accept that everything is consciousness or energy or spirit or whatever word we prefer to label the substance out of which all things have their origin, it becomes easier to conceptualize that between the invisible substance, right, this is the source material, and things detectable by the five senses, they must be some other versions or some other states of the stuff, states of existence that are not perceptible to us. Humans think, but we're not able to see thoughts. We do have instruments that indicate by measuring brain activity that a person is thinking. We certainly can look at a person's face and eyes and tell that they're thinking, but we can't see the thoughts, only the effects of the thoughts. Instruments may tell us that thinking thoughts is happening. Facial expressions may tell us that a person is thinking thoughts, but the thoughts are not visible to us or to instruments. Do you have any doubts that thoughts are things, or that thoughts exist? I don't. If you wonder how powerful consciousness forms are, ask somebody you know that smokes how easy it is for them to quit smoking and stay quit, or lose 20 pounds and keep the 20 pounds off, or change their religious beliefs or their political beliefs. Ask a shy person how easy it is for them to be outgoing and sociable on a regular basis, or for an outgoing person to be quiet and hold back in a social situation where there seems to be a lot of attention just for the taking. But don't take it. Be quiet instead. Do you know why you and I don't speak Swahili or Mandarin Chinese or Navajo? It's because you and I don't have the consciousness forms that make up those languages. We don't have them in our consciousness. We don't have easy access to the patterns of those languages. So for us to try to express ourselves in them, it's like, nope, I don't have those in my inventory. Do you know why you and I feel fear, anger, discouragement, happiness, excitement, sadness, and other emotions? It's because you and I do have these consciousness forms, and they trigger these emotions in our consciousness, and they're easy for us to access. The first step in being infected, and I mean that literally, being infected with consciousness forms, may be the feelings that make the soil of our consciousness receptive, right? If you go take a seed outside and you try planting it on a sidewalk, and you plant another one in tilled, prepared soil, guess what? The sidewalk is not receptive. The soil is going to be much more receptive. You go, One such feeling of receptivity can be the acceptance of the energy that I did something wrong. I'm not enough. I'm bad. That sort of thing. On the basis of that feeling, the acceptance of the energy of the consciousness forms is judged as understandable. We explain our acquisition of the consciousness forms as our due. We think it or feel it or speak it. I deserve it. I deserve punishment. It's not true, but that's how we do it. That's how we do it. Parents blame their children for their own emotional malfunctionings, and the kids believe it's true. How could such a big, powerful being be wrong? Yeah, no, I can't. That must be my fault, just like they said. Many people, and even this country, lives according to might is right as a rule of behavior. We may jokingly say size matter, and in certain situations it does. But we don't say this, and this always matters. Consciousness matters. That's a much more important, much truer statement. Consciousness matters. Let me combine some images and concepts to make a point. Your behaviors and my behaviors are under the control of consciousness forms. I could call consciousness forms by other names. I could call them habits of thought, energy patterns, mindset, attitude, beliefs, probably a lot of other words, like superstition, prejudices, so on. Let's imagine we each have a garden with fertile soil. The intention of the divine is to support the well-being of whatever is planted in the soil. The divine will support the growth, and in the garden, the sunlight, rain, water, nutrition, nutrients in the soil, and the consciousness in the seed themselves will add to the activity of growth. You can pretty much expect a tomato plant and a tomato seed to produce tomatoes. You go, yep, I got it. Apple seed, apples, I got it. Right? We know that for the seeds to grow, they have to be nourished and nurtured. And out in the garden, we might give additional water or energy in the form of fertilizers to help their growth. You know, I think this looks a little undernourished. Let me give it fertilizer. We know that broken branches on plants and trees can heal. We know that living things have been designed with protective measures built in. Couple of examples of these protective measures. I have a lemon tree in my backyard, and it's not very far from my chaya plants that I've mentioned previously. Besides the skin of the lemon itself, the tree has very sharp, and trust me on this, painful thorns all over its branches. No birds can land in the branches of a lemon tree. No squirrels or other animals can climb a lemon tree. Too dangerous, too painful. The protective devices are too intense. The chaya leaves on my five plants have to be cooked before we can eat them because they contain a natural poison that would harm a person or an animal if the leaves were eaten raw. The heat of cooking renders that poison harmless. I've got a large ornamental plant right next to my chaya plant. I wanted to remove some of the big leaves from it, and because it was starting to encroach on my chaya plant, and somebody cautioned me, said, you don't want to handle that with your bare hands, because the sap of that plant is toxic, and you'll end up with a reaction that's similar to poison ivy, but more so. Like, okay, the sap of that plant is protecting it. Living things are forms of consciousness. Living things are designed to protect themselves and grow. They're designed to fulfill their needs and work to survive. The seeds we plant, or which are planted in the soil of our consciousness, will take on form if they're accepted and then nourished with more similar energy forms. Let me talk about the human immune system. This is a big, big topic. But let me say, it consists of the skin, mucous membranes, lymphocytes, lymphokines, the thymus gland, bone marrow, lymphoid tissues, the reticular endothelial cells, the spleen, antibodies, and probably a whole bunch more. Those things work to protect us. We also use different energy patterns to protect ourselves, to get what we want, to achieve comfort and convenience, and to get more energy. These energy patterns strengthen our sense of individuality and can strengthen our survival potential. The energy patterns that we use for our protection and to get our needs met, so on, are both the natural ego-based drives that I've talked about previously and are documented in Christ Returns, and the consciousness forms we're exposed to and which take root in our consciousness. The flowers and the plants and the trees in and around my yard all require sunlight, soil, nutrients, and water in order to grow. But you know what? They don't all require the same type of soil, the same amount of water, or the same amount of sunlight. We have a hydrangea in our courtyard. The color of the hydrangea, its form of expression of its flower, can be changed by what we add or eliminate from its soil. It will change into different colors. Humans' expressions, our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual expressions, can be changed by what is added or eliminated from our consciousness. As you go, aren't we more adaptable than a hydrangea? So what negative consciousness forms do humans use in order to achieve their four driving needs? And you know the goal of that? The goal is to weaken any potential threat and to dominate those threats. The negative consciousness forms that have grown in our energetic fields are criticism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, rejection, denigration, enmity, intolerance, hatred, jealousy, aggression, violent impulses, thieving, falsehoods, double and devious dealings, slander. I know that sounds like I just described our politicians in Washington, and I pretty much did, but I'm really talking about you and me. These consciousness forms, which we could call seed thoughts or thought forms or energy patterns, arrive in the soil of our consciousness in various ways, involving our five senses and some of them that are beyond our senses. Depending on the situations in which we grew in utero, at birth, and in the early years, some of these consciousness forms that I just elaborated on will take root and grow faster and stronger than others. Consider this. You and I are both the gardener and the garden. As these consciousness forms grow and bear fruit, that is, they seek expression, they produce seeds, and circumstances similar to the circumstances that existed when they were originally planted, we're going to target those energies at what we believe to be threatening objects of attention. Whether they're really threatening or not, boom, those consciousness forms are going to come out. As an example, when we've been criticized and we have experienced being controlled by criticism or the fear of criticism, it can only be because we know the pain of criticism. If it was foreign to us, like, that was just noise, that was just sound, that was just a look, I don't know what that meant. But because we have experience with criticism and it's been planted in us, we know, oh boy. And if we remain ego-driven and we don't rise above that behavior, we're going to use criticism, because we have it in our garden, to control other people and animals and even ourselves. Worse still, we're going to add energy to those consciousness forms of criticism. They're going to grow stronger, and they're going to push for more expression, almost demanding more negative critical energy to be fed to them. I'm saying this. Criticism is a negative consciousness form which, like an intestinal parasite, is demanding more of the same type of energy that created it to be fed to it so it can get bigger and bigger and stronger. Creepy, right? Let me continue with this discussion of your intestinal tract and mine. It is understood that sugar cravings can be activated by the bacteria that crave the vibrations associated with sugar. It's as if the bacteria start to freak out in our midsections, in our intestinal tract, when the vibrations produced by the sugar are not available. Think about how you and I would be if air, which is a vibration that you and I appreciate, we need that energy, air energy. Just imagine if it's starting to become scarce. We would start to get anxious and jittery, and we would start to look for ways to get more air. I think the same thing happens with the various colonies of microorganisms. 100 trillion of these little things, when the vibrations that they've grown on, they've been nurtured on, start to become scarce, they want to survive. They're going to do what they need to do to survive, and they will start causing effects in us. Because we've been taught in our culture to think materialistically, it's kind of difficult to get the idea that it's vibrational frequencies that we need and want, just as it is vibrational frequencies that the microorganisms need and want. We talk about chemicals, and we talk about prescriptions, and we talk about sandwiches and food and meat and cheese and organic vegetables and stuff. But it's really the vibration that we ought to be talking about. A cigarette smoker, a workaholic, a heroin addict, a risk junkie, and others may say they just need and want nicotine, work, heroin, or dangers. But what they are using these substances and activity for is to acquire the vibrational frequencies that they have associated with these substances and these activities. They are being driven by, as we all are, our consciousness forms. Their behaviors are symptoms of their infections. You may be thinking, well, I don't smoke, I'm not a workaholic, I don't use heroin, and I don't do risky things just for the adrenaline rush. People go to see horror movies. What for? The popcorn? I don't think so. But those invisible, still not measurable by scientific instrument consciousness forms, which are like pre-viruses of emotions, they show symptoms that are very recognizable. Pre-viruses of emotion. I wish I had, or maybe I'll try to do this, try to become aware of a better phrase that describes this. You've heard these conditions recently. It amazes me. Oh, that person's pre-diabetic. My doctor told me I was pre-diabetic. My doctor looked at my skin and said, that's pre-cancerous. I guess they could look at us and go, oh, you're pre-death. Oh, pre-death? Yeah, you're alive. Everybody who's alive is pre-death. What should I do, doctor? Well, I don't know, but whatever it's going to do, it's going to involve writing a lot of checks or giving me your credit card a lot of times. Okay, doctor. Pre-viruses of emotion. We could say that we exhibit symptoms or we express certain characteristics that are symptomatic of a condition. And we all know, you've heard of this, right? You've experienced this, a high temperature, hot, dry skin, cold, damp skin, a flushed face, a pale face, watery eyes, as compared to, say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. That's what we want. I want to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. The main consciousness forms and forms of expression that Christ encourages us to cleanse from our consciousness are those I mentioned earlier. Listen to yourself. Listen to your self-talk. You talk about other people. And your imagining of other people talking about you and others talking about others as they do on television shows and in the news, you are feeding your consciousness forms. Notice your feelings about yourself and others, even activities that you want and need to do, and about the general conditions of your life. You are feeding your consciousness forms. Being mindful of our thoughts may be the clearest way to know which consciousness forms are most in control of our behaviors. Then we could watch our actions, what we must do, what we can't do, and the resulting feelings. You're going to have plenty of evidence to discover what is going on in your consciousness. You will know which vibrations you are feeding to which consciousness forms. And as we become aware of the cost of letting invisible consciousness forms control our behaviors, we'll go, wait a minute, time out. We will start to reassert our rights and our authority to live the life that we were designed to live. We will take back self-control from these other forces that have been controlling us. You can write these consciousness forms down in a list. They're in the Christ Returns, mentioned several different times, and you can find them. If you've got the PDFs, you can search, like I do, on the word denigration. Every time that word appears, it appears in the context of these consciousness forms, so it's very easy to find them. So you can write these down in a list, and you could rate them from 0 to 10, with 10 being the most prevalent in your life. Next, you can arrange them in order, top to bottom, with the top one, if healed, would give the greatest and most immediate relief to you. The third step would be to use the healing codes and EFT and other modalities to release these consciousness forms from your field. Finally, you would want to, I'll say, reseed your consciousness. You're going to want to reseed it. You want to plant some consciousness forms that will grow and benefit you, your life, your family, the world. This is the time for prayer and meditation and the consciousness forms that we feed our minds and hearts in order to accomplish this step. I'm going to read that list again. Criticism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, rejection, denigration, enmity, intolerance, hatred, jealousy, aggression, violent impulses, thieving, falsehood, double and devious dealings, slander. You might say, whoa, wait a minute. Fear is my biggest problem, not all this other stuff. I say, fear is the reasons we display these negative characteristics. And because we do, we increase our fear that other people are going to display those characteristics to us, and they will. What we sow, think, feel, say, and do will return to us as our harvest. So as we're putting out criticism, we are planting seeds of criticism, and the harvest is inevitable. But if we can burn the seed of criticism and each one of those other characteristics, each one of those other consciousness forms, if we can burn the seed, it will not be able to grow and reproduce. We will reduce our fear of being criticized because it won't be in our consciousness anymore. We've all had this experience in childhood. Somebody, maybe a peer, maybe a slightly older peer, is going to encourage us to do something that we know, and they know, is wrong. And we know that we're going to get in trouble for. Positive and negative consciousness forms are those advisors. They're influencing us and even controlling our behaviors. We would be wise and more effective if we were to turn to divine consciousness for help so we can listen to the advice that will lead us in the path of love. We don't want to listen to the negative advisors that we know, you know what, gut tells me this is crazy to do this. If we can listen to a higher vibration input advisor and ask for help from the divine to lead us onto the path that's going to lead to light, love, self-love, and the love of others, we're going to be so much better off. Consciousness forms are still going to be affecting us and our behaviors, but consciousness forms that are based in love and light and caring and nurturing and compassion and generosity and gratitude and fun and laughter, that's a much better way for us to be influenced. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Listen to the consciousness forms in this prayer. Father, Mother Life, you are my life, my constant support, my health, my protection, my perfect fulfillment of every need, and my highest inspiration. I ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to me. I know it is your will that I shall be fully illumined, that I may better receive awareness of your presence within and around me. I believe and know that this is possible. I believe that you protect and maintain me within perfect love. I know that my eventual purpose is to express you. As I speak to you, I know you're perfectly receptive of me, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. I know that as I ask you to speak to me, I am sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as I listen, you will be penetrating my human consciousness and coming ever closer to my increasingly receptive mind and heart. I commit myself and my life into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.